Welcome to Series 65 Exam Tutors Podcast. Today we are going to focus on exemptions and exclusions for persons and related topics. So let's get started. Basically, we have four persons that we're thinking about registering. We have broker dealers, we have agents, we have investment advisors, and we have investment advisor representatives. Sometimes they have to register and sometimes they don't. Broker dealers still to this day have to be registered federally with the SEC because that's what the 1934 Act says, and they have to be registered with states unless they are excluded from the definition of broker dealer. So that is a relatively short list. So basically what we're talking about is the following are going to be excluded from the definition of broker-dealer. First, agents are not broker-dealers because they work for the broker-dealer. Secondly, issuers are not broker-dealers because they issue securities. Thirdly, banks are not broker-dealers because they do banking. But probably most importantly, we have, if you don't have a place of business in the state, and every one of your clients is institutional, then you're not a broker-dealer in the state. And then, finally, if you don't have a place of business in the state, and your client from your state, from your own home state, happens to be on vacation on that state, like temporarily, then you are not a broker-dealer in that state. But keep in mind, is when you get a retail client in a state, you got to be registered in that state. So we do not have a de minimis exemption for broker dealers or agents. Now, agents, the puzzle is a little bit more complicated for agents. So agents still to this day have to be registered federally with FINRA. And also have to be registered with states unless they are excluded from the definition of agent. Now, that's a little trickier, so there's a lot more that goes into that. So first of all, you know, most people, they can kind of like get that clerical people are not agents. And also, if you have no connection to sales, you don't supervise anyone selling securities, then you're not an agent, right? So that, now, but most importantly, what we have, and this is really crucial, so when you're looking at agent questions, you gotta see who the employer is. If the employer is a broker-dealer, you pretty much gotta be registered in your home state, and if you're selling securities. If you work for a BD and you're selling securities, it doesn't matter if the securities are exempt, if the transactions are exempt, it doesn't matter. You gotta be registered. So you almost always have to be registered when you work for a broker dealer. Now, what about if the employer is an issuer? Well, that is different. So if you were employed by an issuer and then you fit into one of these four categories, like you are selling certain exempt securities, then you're not considered an agent. The majority of the certain exempt securities are government securities, basically government bonds. So if you work for the government and you're selling government bonds, you don't register. You're not an agent. There are others, but just to make sure we're not going too long with this audio, if you work for an issuer and you are selling certain exempt securities, you're not going to register. Not all of them, some of them. Now, if you work for an issuer and you are doing an exempt transaction, same thing. You are not considered an agent. Unfortunately, there's a whole long list of exempt transactions, and you know, you kind of have to memorize some of them. But, you know, for the most part, what we can say about them is that a good number of them are institutional, and a few of them are like administrative. And keep in mind that with a few of the exempt transactions, there's a special compensation disqualifier. So, for example, the one about private placements, there's a special compensation disqualifier if you get commissions for dealing with retail people. Also, there are a few others, but for the most part, the commission, the extra commission or the special compensation really only applies to certain exempt transactions in which it would actually negate the status of the exemption. It doesn't really apply to exempt securities. But like I was saying, that there's a whole long list of exempt transactions. And, you know, to some extent, you really do have to memorize them. It's not an easy thing to do. Like, when you first think about memorizing stuff, it seems like a very daunting task. Because you're thinking, like, how in the world am I going to memorize, like, 10 or 15 exempt transactions? And you may not have to memorize all of them, but you'd be surprised how much you can memorize if you just take it a little bit at a time. You memorize a few of them, you memorize a few more, and eventually, you pretty much got them all down. Now, the third situation where you're not going to be considered an agent is going to be if you're doing a federal-covered transaction. The main one to consider here is Regulation D. So if you're doing a Reg D transaction on behalf of an issuer, then you're not considered an agent. You're not going to be registering. And then finally, if you are working for an issuer and you're selling your own, let's say, company stock to your own employees, and you're not getting paid a special bonus or a commission or anything like that, you're also not considered an agent. But the thing is, you know, a great deal of what I said really doesn't apply if you work for a broker-dealer. So you got to see in agent questions who the employer is. Employer, a broker-dealer, employer, an issuer makes a big, big difference. But let's talk a little bit more about what happens, what is the situation if you work for a broker-dealer. There are very isolated instances where you can be working for a BD and selling securities and not have to register. The first one would be, the typical clients on vacation in that state. Well, no one's going to be, you're not going to be registering in a state where the client's on vacation because they're coming back like real soon. Secondly, if the BD that you work for in your home state is not really a BD in another state, you can't possibly be an agent in the other state. So that kind of gets to your BD doesn't have a place of business somewhere, and their only clients are institutional. So they're not a BD in that state, and you can't be an agent in that state. You're not technically considered to be an agent in that state. And then also, we have a situation where your client from your home state moves into another state. So what this means is that you are allowed to do transactions with this client who just moved to another state for a certain number of days. Different prep providers vary on their interpretation of how many days it is, but if they move, you got to get the application in to the other state. If you get the application into the other state, you can still do transactions for a limited period of time. Now, the third person we're going to think about registering here is an investment advisor, or not register. So investment advisors got a big break when NISMIA was passed, National Securities Markets Improvement Act. So NISMIA basically says that big advisors register federally with the SEC, and small advisors register with states, right? So if you have at least $110 million of assets under management, you got to register with the SEC. If you've got at least $100 million, but less than $110, you can go either way. You can register with the SEC or register with states. And if you've got less than $100 million in assets under management, you're registering with states. Now, before we get on to some of the nuances of investment advisors, of exclusions and exemptions, investment advisor reps, it's pretty basic because investment advisor reps only register in states. There's no federal registration for an investment advisor rep. Now, investment advisors. So the core of the investment advisor section is exclusions and exemptions. But before I get to that, I just want to mention a couple of categories that are useful to know. There's a category that's called basically who is required to register with the SEC as an investment advisor. And this is unless they're excluded or exempt. So I already mentioned that if you got $110 million in assets under management, you got to register with the SEC. Then the second one is if you're a private fund advisor and you got $150 million of assets under management, you got to register with the SEC. Who are these private fund advisors? Well, private fund advisors are basically hedge fund managers. So it's really confusing. You know, we probably know that the hedge fund itself is exempt, but the advisor to the hedge fund has to be registered once the assets reach $150 million. Are these different entities? Well, maybe they're different legal entities, but it's the same people. The people who work on the hedge fund are the people who advise the hedge fund. It's the same people, probably the same building. I mean, it's the same thing. But we have to know the nuances here. And then investment advisors to investment companies have to be registered with the SEC. Vanguard advisors, Fidelity advisors, if you're an advisor to a mutual fund, you gotta be registered with the SEC. Then there's another category that I call optional registration with the SEC. So we kind of already mentioned that if you got $100 million but less than $110 million, you got the option. Now, large pension consultants like Wilshire Associates or Mercer Consulting, if they're advising large employee benefit plans that have at least $200 million in them, they got the option of registering with the SEC. Also, you might want to know that internet advisors have the option of registering with the SEC, and there is no asset test. If you read the SEC's press release on the regulations there, basically they feel sorry for them because the internet advisors would have to be registering in like all sorts of states. So the SEC says, well, you can register with us. And then finally, if you're an investment advisor that would be required to register in 15 or more states, then you can skip all that stuff and you can register with the SEC. And there is no asset test. Now, the core is exclusions and exemptions for investment advisors. So there's a subtle difference between an exclusion and an exemption. An exclusion from the definition means you're literally not the person. You're not the investment advisor. It's not mostly about clients here. The clients are mostly in the exemption side. It's about the entity itself. The entity is not an investment advisor. So, and for practical purposes here, there's not really much of a difference between federal law and state law on exclusions for investment advisors. It might look like there are a few differences, and there are, but for practical purposes, if you are excluded federally, you can't be included under state law. When you're excluded federally, you're also excluded under state law as an investment advisor. So who are these entities? We got banks, there are investment advisors. They do banking. We got lawyers, accountants, teachers, and engineers, the acronym LATE. You know, they do their things. They're allowed to provide advice to people, but whatever advice they're giving has to be incidental, which basically means they're not getting paid for the advice. Broker-dealers and their agents, not investment advisors, they do their thing. So agents provide advice to clients like every day, but their advice also has to be incidental. They can't be paid specifically for the advice. They get commissions on trades, right? Now, you might want to know that wrap fee programs are not excluded. So if a BD has a wrap fee program, then they got to be registered. Publishers, they're not investment advisors because they do publishing. Investment advisor reps are not investment advisors because they work for the investment advisors. And federal covered advisors are not investment advisors under state law because they're registered under federal law. There are a couple of subtle differences under federal law. There's one line item that says U.S. government securities advisors. These are entities that are providing advice or managing portfolios exclusively in U.S. government securities. Treasuries, government agencies, there really can't be hardly any of these companies. What kind of business is it to be only managing portfolios of like treasuries? They're probably none. I mean, I can't even think of any. So that's like a kind of like a textbook thing. There's another one that I'll mention, family offices. Family offices are a thing. So a family office is basically a situation in which the company is managing assets of one wealthy family, and they're not holding themselves out as an investment advisor, and basically the family owns their business. They're not going to harm anybody but themselves, so they're not investment advisors. Now, let's talk about exemptions for investment advisors. So with exemptions for investment advisors, it is very different between state and federal. The exclusions are very similar. Exemptions are very different. And my experience has been that people seem to remember the state exemptions, but they have a difficult time remembering the federal ones. There are two reasons that people remember the state ones. Number one, there's a lot of overlap in the state ones between other concepts. Number two, the prep providers probably have a lot more questions about state exemptions. So under state law, if you don't have a place of business in the state and all your clients are institutional, you're exempt. Or if you don't have a place of business in the state and you have at most 5 retail clients in the state, you're exempt. That is the de minimis exemption. By the way, what I just said about exemptions for investment advisors under state law, institutional clients, and de minimis, that's basically the same exact exemption for investment advisor representatives. There's really no difference. No place of business in the state, only clients for institutional, no place of business in the state, at most 5 retail clients. The investment advisor rep section on registration tends to be short. And then finally, if you got no place of business in the state and your client is just temporarily in the state like on vacation, of course you're going to be exempt. Now, before I go on to the other exemption, the federal ones are very different. The federal ones are really more about jurisdiction. So, number one, if your only clients are insurance companies, you're going to be exempt. Not banks, not investment advisors, not broker-dealers, just insurance companies. Secondly, the single state advisor. If you have an investment advisory business in one state and all your clients live in that state, you're a single state advisor and the SEC cannot regulate you because that is outside the jurisdiction of the SEC. the SEC is only responsible for regulating interstate activity, activity that goes across the boundaries of states. So if you're a single state advisor or a single state broker dealer, then you are not registering with the SEC. You're only registering with that state. Now, the single state advisor exemption is a little bit more complicated. Not sure if it'll be tested, but to qualify for this exemption, you can't be buying stocks to trade on exchanges. You also can't be buying mutual funds. So, in effect, it is a very narrow exemption. So that's the first two under a federal law. Third one, which is actually common between state law and federal law, is the private fund advisor exemption. So, and again, private fund advisors are hedge fund managers. So under federal law, if you're a hedge fund manager advising hedge funds, right, and your assets are less than $150 million, you're exempt. State law, there is a very similar exemption. We don't have an asset level under state law because assets really don't matter all that much under state law. So that's the third exemption. Now, you might want to know that private fund advisors who take this exemption become what's called an exempt reporting advisor. And basically what they have to do is they do what's somewhat similar to a notice filing. So, you know, states like to collect fees, so they have to do what's almost like a notice filing. Now, I will also mention there are a couple of other exemptions that don't really get talked about much under federal law, but I'll just mention them. There's one for foreign private fund advisors, and there's also one for venture capital fund advisors. And there you have it for the exclusions and exemptions. So stay tuned for future episodes. You can check in at the website www.series65examtutor.com, then scroll down towards the bottom and click on Series 65 Podcast, and we'll occasionally be putting up new episodes. Thanks for listening.